You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and we're going to move on now from saving stray kittens to saving species living in their ecosystems. When the balance between predators and prey has somewhat gotten out of whack, scientists have to weigh their options. Should they intervene, or will that intervention cause more trouble? And what happens when they make the wrong decision? A 2007 study blamed declines in oyster and other shellfish stocks in the Chesapeake Bay on a specific type of stingray. Soon, a campaign was underway to combat what seemed like a new enemy. Save the bay, eat a ray. I recently spoke to ecologist Dean Grubbs of Florida State University. He has just published a rebuttal to this study. He says it's the ray that needs saving. The species is called the cow-nose ray, and I asked him to describe this fish.
So the cow-nose ray is a very common, relatively large stingray that lives up and down the east coast of the U.S. and in the Gulf of Mexico. It gets to be about 3 feet across, something like that, about 50 pounds, maybe a little more than that. And they travel in enormous schools. Schools of tens to hundreds of thousands will migrate up and down the east coast of the U.S. They're kind of shaped like a trapezoid, sharp-pointed pectoral fins, and they have this sort of indented, flattened snout that's sort of reminiscent of a cow's snout, and hence that's the reason why it's called the cow-nose ray. It's not a very good name, though, because it's actually a really beautiful, elegant fish.
And what did the 2007 study conclude about the cow-nose ray?
Well, the crux of the 2007 study was that there was drastic declines in large coastal shark populations up and down the East Coast. And as a result, their purported prey, the cow-nose ray population, had then exploded. And this exploding cow-nose ray population had then allowed them to basically run amok, feeding on oysters and bay scallops and other commercial bivalve that people like to eat. The big problem with that study is that we had spent, a number of us have spent many years, decades in fact, studying the populations of the large coastal sharks. And we knew from the stock assessments and from many data sets that the declines in large coastal sharks were not that severe. And in fact, many stocks have been recovering for a number of years due to very aggressive fisheries management. And then in addition to that, we knew that it's biologically impossible for cow-nose ray populations to explode, as was purported, because since a cow-nose ray only produces one pup every year, you can imagine that the population doubling time is many decades. So the idea that they could increase exponentially over a 10-year period just didn't make sense.
So were people fishing more for these rays as a result of the study?
This study and all of the publicity it got actually got the public behind the idea of developing a fishery for cow-nose rays. And so there were efforts to develop a market in South Korea to sell cow-nose rays from the U.S. and South Korea. There were efforts to develop leather markets for them, things like that. Through the Save the Bay, Eat a Ray campaign, there were even restaurants that pride themselves on only selling, cultured oysters with cow-nose rays as sort of a Save the Bay, appetizer.
Were you freaking out during this period? Did you feel this is all wrong?
Well, we knew from the beginning, we knew that the shark populations had not declined nearly as severely as they thought. We were concerned, very concerned, that the development of this fishery, in addition to the commercial fishery, though, there was the development of bow fishing tournaments where participants would basically go out with hunting bows, compound bows, and just hunt cow-nose rays. And so our main concern and what drove us to publish the rebuttal to the 2007 paper was to encourage managers to actually develop management plans for cow-nose rays if they're going to develop a fishery.
What are the main points that you made in your rebuttal?
We showed that the original authors had picked a single data set to show the most severe declines in the large sharks that were possible. We also showed that the cow-nose ray has one of the most vulnerable life histories of any shark or ray species known. And so extreme caution should be exerted if you're going to start a fishery for them. We looked at the landings data for oysters and the scallops, bay scallops, and we showed that basically those stocks and those fisheries had collapsed 1 to 2 decades at least prior to the supposed increase in the cow nose rays. So the cow nose rays clearly are not the cause of the collapse of those shellfish stocks. Rather, it was overfishing, disease, pollution, and things like that. But the cow nose rays essentially made a convenient scapegoat for our own misdeeds.
Dean, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Dean Grubbs is an ecologist with Florida State University, and he hopes that this rebuttal will encourage fisheries to protect the population of cow nose rays.